Amen. Praise the Lord. How many here this morning are working hard to follow God's plan? To walk in the blessings of God? Well, cut it out. What do you say? Cut it out. You and I cannot earn one iota of the blessings or power of God that's in our lives. Do you understand that? We've lost sight, it seems like, it's a free gift. And along with losing sight of some of these basic principles, we've lost sight about the fact that God's in control in some areas. In every area, but I mean in some areas in our lives and what we see in our experiences in life. Amen? Are you with me? But He's still in control. I'm reminded, Scripture says, and there's a song that says, "Hold on, my child, joy comes in the morning." And it is always darkest just before dawn. Just before the dawn. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Amen? Look out now. We might start shouting in this place this morning. I don't care what the struggle is. I don't care what circumstance. I don't care what happens on the job. I don't care what happens in our personal lives. God is still in control. He's still on the throne. And He has your destiny planned out. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you hearing me, Bill? Are you hearing me, Bill? Praise the Lord. And there's nothing you can do to earn it except obey. In fact, you don't earn it, you just obey. And He does it because He loves you. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Think on these things as we get started this morning. And as you do, let that joy well up inside you as we get up and we sing praise to the Lord. We enter into praise and worship this morning. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Again, I say, rejoice. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Remember, there's no weapon. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how black it gets. There's no weapon formed against you and I that will prosper because we're His. We belong to the mighty God, the Creator of the universe, Master, Savior, Prince of Peace. So all that's in our destiny is peace, blessings, prosperity, health, sanity, safety. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for this day. We thank You for who You are, Lord. One who cannot lie. One who never fails. One who never changes His mind, nor seeks to take back what He's given. I don't care how miserable we may get, or how much we feel we're not worthy, Lord. It's not because we're worthy. It's because You love us, and because You said it was so. So this morning, Lord, we thank You. We surrender to all of this, Lord, to Your will, to Your blessings in Jesus' name. And we now receive it. And Lord, because of the joy and the love and the peace that's in our spirits this morning, and because we know who You are, because You're our Father, You're our Redeemer, our God, our Creator, we've come with one purpose in mind, to worship and to praise You this morning, to give You honor and glory and praise and thanksgiving forever. And that we will do. Father, get glory to Yourself. We pray that You'd be pleased with what we say and do this morning, that every word would be a sweet smell and a sweet sound, and every action the same, Lord. For this we thank You. Give You praise in advance. In Jesus' name. Amen.
One more thing I have to add. As you probably are all aware, a while back, Donna was circulating a petition regarding personhood in the state of Colorado. Basically, it puts an initiative on the ballot before the voters that if passed, then would make an embryo recognized as a person with the same rights to life as a person. And of course, as you might expect, the devil, through the liberals in power, are fighting this hammer and tongs, and the Secretary of State's office has ruled, how many of it was it, Donna? How many signatures? 16,000 of those signatures to be invalid. Okay, see, the devil would not like this because this would have basically put the abortion industry in this state out of business. So, if you have not signed this petition and you feel that the Lord would guide you to do that, I'm not going to tell anybody how to vote. Amen. But if you have not signed it, or you have friends or family that are not aware of it and have not had an opportunity to sign this, we need to get behind it and make sure that these signatures get in so it can be on the ballot, so that the voice of the voters can be heard, not the voice of the liberals. Amen?
Praise the Lord. Before we get started,
I know that there were some struggles
last night for some of you. I know that the enemy tried to attack, but you know what? The fact that you came today, you need to reach out and expect and receive your touch from God. Amen? Amen? God blesses faithfulness. Amen? Praise the Lord. So as we enter in this morning, keep that in mind. God's here. He hasn't changed. His love, His mercy, His grace, and His plans and thoughts have not changed. Amen? They're still intact. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For I am not ashamed of the gospel or the good news of Christ, for it is God's power working unto salvation, for deliverance from eternal death to everyone who believes, with a personal trust and confidence, surrender and firm reliance to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We thank you this morning, Lord, for your presence, for your power. We thank you, Lord, for your love more than anything, Lord, and that you do reign from heaven above with power and might and majesty. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, as we give honor to you, Lord, in your word, we ask that you would continue to touch people, Lord. We thank you that hearts have been opened and now they're ready to receive from you, Lord. Now, Lord, hide me behind the cross. Use me as your vessel, Lord. I surrender to you. You be glorified. You be lifted up. You be magnified. For this I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I got to read you one more. Hallelujah. But what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time or this present life are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us, for us, and conferred on us. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. The first one I read was Romans 1:16, and what I just read was Romans 8:18. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you this morning know that faith works by love? Amen. What is that? What is love? That's right. God is love. And if God is love and He never changes, He's unfailing, undying, and is consistent through eternity, then that means that that love flows in you, through you, and over you all the days of your life. Amen? Hallelujah. And it's that love that has said that He's got thoughts and plans for us, to give us a hope and a future, to prosper us and not to harm us. Amen? Hallelujah. He tells us in one scripture that no evil will befall us. An attack of the enemy doesn't mean evil's befallen you. It just means an attack of the enemy. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to be reading verses 11 through 28. Amen. And once again, I'll be reading from the Amplified Bible. A little wordy, but it gets the point across. We're going to try to take it slow, but we're not going to drag it on. First of all, before I go any further, I would ask your forgiveness and your grace this morning. I will not be able to stay as I'm celebrating my granddaughter's 8th birthday today. So, I know that you guys are going to have a good time. I wish I could be here, but unfortunately plans have been made, so I have an obligation. Amen? So you'll forgive me, amen? You got no choice. If you want to be forgiven, you got to forgive. Hallelujah. Besides, you folks are full of grace and mercy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's start with verse 11. Therefore, encourage or admonish and exhort one another and edify or strengthen and build up one another just as you are doing. How many know we're told to lift up the hands that hang down? Sometimes that means we got to lift up our own hands. We just got to pull it from the inside, pull ourselves up from our bootstraps. And sometimes it means somebody's there to help us lift up those hands that are hanging down. Amen? How many know God never leaves us nor forsakes us? Amen? Hallelujah. Now also, we beseech you, brethren, get to know those who labor among you. Recognize them for what they are. Acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all. Your leaders who are over you in the Lord, and those who warn you kindly, reprove and exhort you. Your leaders who are over you in the Lord, and those who warn and kindly reprove and exhort you. There we go. That made more sense. Verse 13. And hold them in very high and most affectionate esteem, in intelligent and sympathetic appreciation of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we earnestly beseech you, brethren, admonish, warn, and sincerely advise, seriously advise those who are out of line, the loafers, the disorderly, and the unruly. Encourage the timid and faint-hearted. Help and give your support to weak souls. And be very patient with everybody, always keeping your temper. See that none of you repays another with evil for evil, but always aim to show kindness and seek to do good to one another and to everybody. And then he goes on, and now we're going to talk about some specific things that he says in this chapter. Verse 16 says, be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually, always. Remember that God is love. So if God's taken up residence in you, if you're in Him and He's in you, then that love abounds in you, through you, and over you forever. It can't go away. It can't change. All it can do is intensify. Are you with me? Intensify. That's really what who's speaking in Jeremiah 29:11. That's the entity of God, or the part of God that's speaking in Jeremiah 29:11. That love that says, I've got it all mapped out for you. I've got it in my hands. I've got it under control. And we know we're not supposed to walk by sight, but by faith. Amen? Amen? Verse 17. Be unceasing in prayer, praying perseveringly. You know, sometimes people struggle with that because they don't really understand that prayer is just communication. You know, somewhere we got through the years and through religion and these pious people that you got to get down on your face. Now, there's times for that. God may require that. You may feel that in your spirit. There's nothing wrong with that. But I know about you, but I can't just stop what I'm doing in my day when I'm at work and stuff, and when I'm work doing my job, and just, you know, do that. I may have the desire, but I can't do that. So what God is looking for is, again, just open communication continually with Him. Amen? Can we all agree on that? Praise the Lord. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus being the revealer and mediator of that will. So He's just revealed to us what His will is. To give thanks always. Give thanks. Why? Why give thanks in adversity? Why give thanks in challenge? Why give thanks in circumstances? Because you know you're going to come out on the other side unscathed, untouched, and unharmed. Amen? Is that right? Do you believe that today? I'm here to tell you, in my lifetime, sometimes I've wondered. I'm not going to ask you about you. I can see it on your faces.
Oh, come on. Lighten up.
Verse 19. Do not quench. That means to suppress or subdue the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. Do not spurn the gifts and utterances of the prophets. Do not depreciate prophetic revelations or despise inspired instruction or exhortation or warning. But test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good, and then to that hold fast. Abstain from evil. Shrink from it. Back off of it. And keep aloof from it. In whatever form, whatever kind it may be. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, or separate you from profane things, make you pure and holy, and wholly consecrate you. That's W-H-O-L-L-Y. Wholly consecrate. Let me start again. Separate you from profane things, make you pure and wholly consecrated to God. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved sound and complete and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Faithful is he who is calling you to himself, and utterly trustworthy. Can you say amen to that? Is he utterly trustworthy in your life today? Hallelujah. See, the scripture says we don't have a high priest that can't be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. That means the attack that comes in the middle of the night. The plan of the enemy to try to drag you down, to steal your faith, to pull you down, and cause you to turn away and say, God, where are you? And then, of course, the enemy brings fear. Okay, Lord, I'm trusting you to heal me, but this keeps coming back. I know everybody in this room has been there, too, at one time or another in their life. But our focus needs to continue to be, he's faithful. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Faithful is he who is calling you to himself and utterly trustworthy. And he will also do it or fulfill his call by hallowing and keeping you. Brethren, pray for us. You know, I want to backtrack for just a minute before I go on with that verse. Do you realize, think about this for a minute. It's so easy when a circumstance comes, especially one of infirmity or physical infirmity. It's so easy to wonder, okay, God, is this the moment? You're calling me home? Oh, no, honey. See, the thing is, God's got a plan for you. He said that in Jeremiah 29:11. And you can't check out until that plan's fulfilled. And in these things, these are not opportunities to tear you down or to steal your faith. These are opportunities for your faith to increase and to give a testimony for the Lord. For God to be glorified, because he never fails. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Praise the Lord. You're smart people. Verse 25. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a sacred kiss. I solemnly charge you in the name of the Lord to have his letter, or to have this letter read before all brethren. The grace and unmerited favor and blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, be with you all. Amen, or so be it. I want to go back a little bit and look at these. Be happy. It's easy for the things we see and the things that surround us and the news that we receive, whether it's one-on-one, from the media, from the newspapers, to start to get a tainted view of what's going on. And as that view becomes more clouded or becomes more intense, it tends to cloud our eyes or our spiritual eyes from seeing who's really in charge. And once again, I remind you that the scripture says that it's always darkest just before the dawn. Remember, there was a time when you were lost and undone. You didn't have God. You didn't have a son. And yet he reached down because he loved you from the foundations of the world and pulled you out, saved you, set you apart, sanctified you, set you free. Amen? Isn't that right? And that's because of love. not a warm, fuzzy feeling, but love, the one who is love. Amen? Hallelujah. So in that, when things happen, and I don't know about y'all, but it seems like on a daily basis, something pops up where I need to run or be in unceasing prayer, perseveringly. Again, that doesn't mean just laying down, you know, sitting down or kneeling down in front of a chair with my hands folded. But it means running to the rock that's higher than I am. Amen? Trusting Him. Remembering. Letting that love come in and remind me what His thoughts for me really are. That there shall no evil befall you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not touch you. Amen? Hallelujah. If that doesn't give you goosebumps, we need to pray for you, raise you from the dead. Hallelujah. We need to thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be, and be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you, who are in Christ Jesus. Did you see in the Amplified it says, who are in. You're not trying to get in. You are in Christ Jesus. How many remember that when you're baptized with water, you're identifying with the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ? In the spiritual, you have identified and you have been buried with Him in baptism, but resurrected with Him now in eternal life. Eternal life. Remember what the Bible says about the gifts and calling of God being without repentance. Irrevocable. Why don't I just read that real quickly? Romans 11:29. I want to read it out of the Amplified. For God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they are given. And He does not change His mind about those to whom He gives His grace or to whom He sends His call. Amen? So when things come on you, remember, even though the enemy would try to distract you because of some kind of infirmity or circumstance or situation, God never changes His mind. And if He's got a plan for your life, you can't check out and nothing's going to happen to you until that plan is fulfilled. Unless you give up. That's the only part of the equation that you need to keep steadfast in. But if you love Him and you're serving Him and you've seen Him do mighty things in your life, first of all, just saving you, then it's not a thought in your mind about giving up, is there? Well, is there? I don't hear any amens. And if there is a thought, we need to cast down that vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and take those kind of thoughts captive. Amen? We need to use the shield of faith when those kind of darts come at us so that they can be deflected, extinguished, and thrown down violently so they have no power over us. Amen? Remember, we're supposed to keep that armor of God on at all times. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances. Remember, Christ Jesus is the revealer and the mediator of that will. In other words, it looks like if there's a trust, God set up a trust and Jesus is the one who, well, I don't know what the word is. You lawyers know about this. Trustee, trustor, I don't know what he is. But he's the one who executes the will of the trust. Amen? Praise the Lord. Do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? You take your eyes off the Word. You let yourself get caught up in the circumstances or what you feel is an attack from the enemy. And it may be. But you need to remember at that moment you have authority over the enemy. You need to remember at that moment that you are seated with Him in heavenly places, the right hand of God the Father. You're the body of Christ. He's the head. And so if the enemy's under His feet, he's under where? Your feet. Amen? Under your feet. And I don't know about y'all. Have you ever noticed when a policeman takes somebody down? When they get them down, they get them in a certain arm hold, and then they put their knee on the neck. You're not going anywhere, and you're not going to do much with somebody's knee on your neck, are you? Or when somebody's foot is on your neck. You're kind of in a helpless, hopeless state, aren't you? Well, folks, the enemy's in a helpless, hopeless state. He's already been and made an open show of The keys of death and hell and the grave have been taken away from him, have they not? And Jesus triumphed over him in it all. Amen? Because he raised from the dead. Sealing our salvation. Sealing the blessings of God and sealing the promises of God for us forever. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Feels good to be back up here. Do not spurn the gifts and utterances of the prophets. Do not depreciate prophetic revelations, nor despise inspired instruction or exhortation or warning. The Scripture says, take heed thereto. Therefore, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why it's so important that we hide God's word in our heart. So when the attack comes, now, folks, this is basic. I know some of this is, probably a lot of it's basic, but it's important that we remind ourselves every now and then. Amen? I don't know about you, I need it often. And how many of you, without even being told in verse 21, but test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good, to that hold fast. If you will, how many of you have stepped out of the boat onto the water and seen that Jesus really does sustain you and hold you? Nobody? What was that, Deborah?
I said I jumped right out of that
boat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Abstain from evil. Shrink from it. And keep aloof from it in whatever form or whatever kind it may be. How many know that's not just talking about being involved with physical wrongdoing? That's abstaining from letting your mind go into wrongdoing by disregarding or putting away the Word of God in your circumstance. Are you with me? Are you following me? It's thoughts. Thoughts. Your thoughts can be evil too. Evil meaning like, well, you just let the Holy Spirit deal with you about that. Evil meaning that anything that's not of God is not good. Amen? Is that right? Okay. So I think we're on the same page. Keep away from it. Keep aloof from it in whatever form or whatever kind it may be. That's why it's written there. Whatever kind. Whether it's thoughts, words, deeds, actions, if you prefer that word. Amen? Hallelujah. In this scripture, it's all speaking about love and action. Amen? Let's read 1 Corinthians 13. And we're going to read the whole chapter. We have the time. And I want you to pay special attention to 13, verse 2. Chapter 13, verse 2. I'm going to point out that it correlates very closely with another scripture. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but I have not love, that reasoning, intentional spiritual devotion, such as inspired by God, by God's love, for and in us, I am only a noising gong or clanging cymbal. So if I can do all the things that show or appear that God's power is in me, but I don't have love, I want to just turn it just a little bit, then that means God is not in me. He's not operating in me. He may be in me, but He's not operating in me at that time for whatever reason. Are you with me? Can we stretch it that far? In other words, without that love, your words are hollow, ineffective. Amen? God's love is always demonstrated. Isn't that right? We don't just go around wondering. We see it demonstrated effectively and continually every day of our lives. And if I have prophetic powers or the gift of interpretation and the divine will and purpose, interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all secrets and truth and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. Now I want to refer you back to Mark 11:23. You don't have to turn there, but follow along with me. Mark 11:23. We may read one or two more than just 23. Truly I tell you that whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all
in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For the reason I'm telling you this, telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that that it is granted to you, and you will get it. We just read in verse 2, if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. Faith works by love. Amen. Goes on to say, if you have aught against your brother, you need to forgive. As you read down in Mark chapter 11. Verse 22 says you're supposed to have the God kind of faith. Praise the Lord. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Again, God's love. That's every thought, every plan, every promise. That's eternal. That's unchanging, unwavering, unfailing, and never, ever, 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 ever becomes ineffectual. Amen? Have I gone too far for you? Let me say it again. It never, ever, ever becomes useless, ineffectual. It's unfailing, never changes, never wavers, never ceases. Amen? And it's not a feeling. It's a decision that God's made. Let me tell you something. If you stop and examine your life just for a moment, I want you to examine yours. We examine mine. You'll know there's no... Never mind. Then you can see that God's love is unfailing. Because even when you've messed up the worst you thought you could ever mess up, at what moment did God turn on you and say, that's it, I've had enough? Now, we may have had earthly parents or friends, relatives, or whatever, associates, say that to us. But God has never and will never say that to us. Do you believe that? Oh, please, don't just nod your head. Believe it. Receive it. Receive it. Amen? Remember Romans 11:29. His call and gifts are irrevocable. He never changes his mind. And that means when he's put the gifts and call in you, he's going to see that fulfilled. Now, he may, in your stubbornness, have to get somebody else to fill in for a while. But that doesn't mean he's changed his mind or that you're done. Amen? Amen. So be it. So be it. I receive it and I acknowledge it and I say amen. Yes, so be it. Verse 4 says, love endures long and is impatient, and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, and it does not display itself haughtily. Love endures forever. That means that no matter what point you are right this moment, whether you're standing right in the blessings of God and they're overflowing in your life, or you've messed up and right now you're wondering if God still even knows you exist, it's not going to fail. It hasn't changed. And if it did, then it wasn't real love. Human love will disappoint you. But God's love, the decision to love, God made that decision at the day that He decided to create all of us for fellowship with Him. You don't believe that that's what He did? Then why did He send Jesus after Adam and Eve messed up in the garden? Why didn't He just throw the clay in the corner and say, next, start over again? Did you ever think about that? Not too long ago, I hung my head in shame as Stan stood up here and said, Bill, you're a screw-up. And then he said, we are all screw-ups. And that's the truth. We're screw-ups. But we're not throwaways. We're not rejects. Amen? Amen. I like those exuberant amens because that's the truth. Scripture says He's continually working with us, in us, through us, for us, to bring us into the place where we can and do accomplish His will in this earth. Amen? Y'all haven't changed your minds, have you? I know you haven't because you're still here. Praise the Lord. It's patient and kind, never envious, nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, and it does not display itself haughtily. Well, I have my rights. Well, you and your rights, if you take a buck and a half, you can go buy yourself a cheap cup of coffee. Means nothing. The only rights you have, the only power you have, is in the word and authority and love of God Almighty. Amen? Hallelujah. It's not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. Well, now, I don't know about y'all, but that statement right there, I have my rights, that's pretty arrogant, pretty uppity, and pretty inflated with pride, isn't it? I'm the big dog. Get off my mountain. Yeah. Honey, you better go back and take a look again in the book. Because the big dog, that's not his attitude. Amen? He's the one who brought you in this world. He's the one who can take you out and make another one just like you. It's not rude or unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, or God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. How many times have you been, whether it's in your personal marriage relationship, in your relationship with your children, business relationships, friendship relationships, has something happened? And by George, the hackles on the back of your neck stand up and you set your hands in your, or your fists in your sides and you, I'm not bending, you're wrong, I'm right, and I'm not changing, you're going to change. Ooh, that sounds a lot like pride. That sounds a lot like pride, doesn't it? You know something? Even if the person is wrong, you heap hot coals of fire on their head. If you demonstrate the love of God by backing down and allowing the Holy Spirit to go in and reach their heart, massage it, and change them, you didn't retaliate. You've demonstrated the love of God. God's not a retaliator. Amen? If He did, we wouldn't be here. But you didn't even say, oh, me on that one. I didn't hear any men's or nothing. Amen's or nothing. It's the truth. He's not a retaliator. How many times have you been wrong, stood there right in His face, blatant as you can be, with your face hanging out, and knew you were flat out wrong? And when did God give you the boot? He may have given you the boot, but not out the door. He can do that, you know. And He does it without you even knowing you've been kicked. It just pierces your heart. You go, ooh. It's a wound that's more severe than a physical wound. Amen? It's a wound that's more severe than a physical wound. Help us, Lord. No account of an evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Folks, in this life, we're going to be wronged, and we're going to wrong people. That's a given. It's because we're flesh. We don't have that terrestrial body yet. But it's coming. It's coming. I said it's coming. Amen. Number 6. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Do you know when the Bible says humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, one of the things that's talking about is even if you know you're 110% right, 110% right, and the other person is so far off the beam, you go and you say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Do you realize you've set the wheels of restoration in place? And what are we supposed to be? What is Jesus? He's a restorer, a reconciliator. Amen? To righteousness and justice and peace. Amen? And that in itself heaps hot coals of fire on somebody's head. And besides that, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. That's why it's so important when the enemy steals from you. You can recognize that the thief has stolen from you. You can hold him accountable and you can go and just keep the joy of the Lord and start praising the Lord. Praising that you got stolen from? No, praising that God is in control and He saw what happened. And now what happens because you kept that joy, you have opened the door for God to bring about restoration sevenfold on the wrong that you suffered. Somebody steals $5,000 from you. Let me just do the math. Let's see. If I get angry and upset, chances are I might not get anything back. But if I remain in joy, and God causes the restoration and reconciliation, 7 times 5 is 35. Which would you rather have? The 5 or the 35? Amen, Betty. Or Beverly, you said it right. You said it right. The 35. 35 is 7 times more than 5, isn't it? Woohoo! Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ever ready to believe the very best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. We better read that one again. I'm sure that sunk in. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. And that's not yours and my nature. But whose nature do we have? Hello, did y'all go to sleep on me or what? Did you hear me? Whose nature do we have? God's nature. Amen? The nature of Christ. We're created in God's image and likeness. And we're supposed to be emulators of Christ. Amen? I probably shared this with most of you in the past, but I can remember as a young person, man, I'm telling you, if you wronged me, especially if you tried to attack me or said something against me, I don't care if it was true or not. Well, I mean, you talk about coming at you like a junkyard dog. Mercy, heavens. And God healed me of that. God knows who I am. And I only answer to Him. I'll not fear the one who can take my life. I'll only fear the one who can take my name out of the book of life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Number 8, love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. Did you hear that, folks? Oh, man, you missed a good place to shout, because that means there's hope, eternal hope for us, for you and me. Gene, for you and me. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value. We're talking about worldly knowledge now, folks, not heavenly knowledge, not godly knowledge. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. The truth will not end. Amen? And we know that truth is not a thing, it's a person. And we're told He's the only way, the only truth, and the only life. For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. And our prophecy, or our teaching, is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. But when the complete and perfect total comes, the incomplete and imperfect will vanish away, become acquainted or antiquated, void, and superseded. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. I'm going to take my toys and go home. You can't talk to me that way. You can't treat me like that. Dear Lord, you know how many adults I see that happen with on a daily basis? Yeah, Deborah, you're right. And I know every one of you see the same thing. What really is bad is when I start to act like them. Oh, mercy. Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. Now that I've become a man, I am done with childish ways and have put them aside. For now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality, as in a riddle or enigma. But then, when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. Oh, hallelujah. Now I know in part or imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood. Hallelujah. By God. So faith, hope, love, abide. Abide means live constantly, remain. They're residential. They've taken up residency. Faith, conviction, and belief. Respecting men's religion or relation to God and divine things. Hope is joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. These three, but out of all of those, the greatest is love. Amen? The greatest is love. Did you get some help this morning? Did you get blessed? I'll tell you what, I had fun preaching that this morning. Hallelujah. God's so good. Have you ever had a circumstance or a situation in your life or been given something that you maybe didn't really appreciate the full value of it? You didn't really cherish it the way you should have. And all of a sudden, the one day when you really needed it, it wasn't there anymore. Or when you really could appreciate it, it wasn't there anymore. God's not like that. But let's don't treat Him like that, amen? Let's fully appreciate who He is and what He's done. How do you do that? A continuing in faith and hope and love. By living up to these. If you need to, read it every day until it sinks in. Read this every day until it sinks in. Until it finally gets to be part of you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you need prayer this morning, Gene, if you'll let the Holy Spirit... You know, that you heard me say that earlier, but you know what we just saw up there? Was men and women called and anointed. Gene's called and anointed. You're called and anointed. I love it. When Gene played just before we started the message, or before we went into the CD, that was from the Spirit of God. That was the anointing on her. Amen? So as we sit under that anointed playing this morning, search your heart. If you have a need, don't sit there. Don't walk out of here today with the same thing still on you. We pray continually as men. We pray continually that the Word will change us. I know you ladies do the same thing. We pray for you, for us, and I know you ladies pray the same. We want to be changed. I don't want to leave here the way I came in here today. Amen? I want to be restored. I want to walk in refreshing. I want to walk in newness of life. That's every day, folks. It's for you every day. It's available to you every day. Amen? Whew, hallelujah. Choose you this day who you'll serve. Your ways, God's ways. Your thoughts, God's thoughts. What does it profit if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul? God loves you so much. I'm going to close by reading this scripture again. But what of it? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time or this present life are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you need prayer, don't be bashful. One of the healthiest things you can do every day. Come on, Beverly. You can do every day is go to the Father and say, Father, forgive me. Just get in that habit. Whether you think you've done something wrong or not, or you've missed the mark or not, Father, forgive me. I want to walk in your presence. I want to be that powerhouse for you. Not so I can stick my thumbs under my arms, but so that you will receive honor and glory because of the change in this raggedy old nasty life. That's the way it was before I knew the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord.
I want to say something, if I may. Last night we had a pretty rough go. Yeah, you've heard about it, and some of you have prayed, and I want to thank you for all your prayers. It was just, you could feel them. But around 11:30, 12 o'clock, we decided that we will not go to the emergency room again. They told us once that when they were there on Thursday night, that they said that they couldn't do anything for us because we'd have to check out Marie's kidneys and a few other things before they can administer any more help in medication. But then about 12:30, we sat there. We sat in our bed. We had our clothes on, decided that that's enough. From now on, we're going to just say, okay, that's it. We're going to stay here, and we're going to praise the Lord. So we praised the Lord and thanked him. We said our prayer, asked him for the healing and all the rest. And finally, I just said, okay, that's it. I took my clothes off. I went to sleep. I figured if the Lord is going to be awake and all night long, he doesn't sleep or slumber. I figured there's no use me staying awake. Marie did the same thing. So I woke up around 2 o'clock, and there's Marie sitting there. She's still sitting up against the headboard. She's got her head down. And I thought, wait a minute. I thought, okay, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to let it go. But the light was still on, so I turned the light off over the bed. The light was off. About 3:30, she slid under the covers and went to sleep. And she slept like a baby. And I want to just say that it's prayer. It is prayer. We are fighting an enemy that is really a nasty, nasty individual. And there's a lot of them around. So remember, when you pray for each other, it's the authority that you have over the devil. And it's authority that Jesus gave us to do. But I want to thank you, and I want to say that I thank you for all your prayers. And we praise you and thank you for all the things that you do for us, Lord, through these people. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
And the proof of their faith is the fact that they're here today in church. Amen.
And I have to add one little thing to that. You know, Harry was on the phone last night asking for prayer. He was calling people, asking for prayer. See, that's what you got to do. You know, that's a step of faith right there. That activates faith right there when you let that known, that need be known, so that the brethren can come together and lift you in that need up in prayer and take authority over the devil and be done with him. Amen? Hallelujah.
Well, and the thing you need to understand that's what the Scripture talks about in Psalm 91 when it says 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you. You know, one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000. But when you get together in the unity of faith, I'm telling you, as Bob said earlier this morning, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, and you're the church. Do you understand that? You're right. Well, not only that, I don't know about y'all, but I'd be a little hesitant to get involved with somebody when I saw a whole myriad of people standing out there with swords and shields saying, bring it on, sucker. Okay, have it your way. I'm out of here. Amen? Father, thank you for this day and this time. Thank you for your people. Thank you for this opportunity once again to speak on your behalf, Lord, to be used by you. I thank you, Lord, for these folks. And I thank you, Lord, that you're in control. And I thank you, Lord, that you're not done. You're not done. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for who you are. I thank you that we have the petitions we've said today, Lord. We've made them in faith. We've said them in faith. We believe them in faith. Now, Lord, we're going to see the report, the good report, and we're going to see the end. Bring honor and glory to you. Now, Lord, let your countenance shine on these people. May your love abound in their hearts and lives. May you be visible in everything they do and say in every point of their life, both in the secret or in the closed, behind closed doors, and when the doors are open, Lord. And may you always get honor and glory to yourself in Jesus' name. Amen.